In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Raising Jesus was like raising any other child. The same benchmarks that you looked for throughout your child's life were the same that brought Mary and Joseph joy. So humble is our God that he who is the Word must learn words. He who knows all things must be taught. He who is the Logos must learn how to think. How often Mary must have sang to him that Magnificat, or the song of the angels at Christmas, or even Simeon's Nunc Dimittis, not only to teach him the scriptures, but also to thank and praise him for having come down to them. So on the knee of Mary, Jesus learned how to sing and to pray and to trust in God. And on the lap of Joseph, he learned the teachings of Scripture, the story of his people Israel, and the promises embedded therein. He increased in wisdom and in stature. So the teachers of the law should not be surprised at what Jesus knows, for Mary and Joseph have taught him well. He didn't need them, but he chose to learn through them. You would never know that this 12-year-old boy is the incarnate God from all eternity. You would never know it by looking at him or even by listening to him. And yet what Peter said after the resurrection still rings true, even of a 12-year-old boy, "Lord, you know all things." Jesus is never without his divinity, never without his divine attributes. So he still retains all knowledge and wisdom and understanding, even as at the same time he learns and he grows. Two natures, one person. In his humility, he set aside the full use of that knowledge, but he still possessed it. He set it aside so that he might learn and grow and increase in knowledge and wisdom and favor with God and among men, because we have not done such things. He does this in our place, to be perfect where we have increased in sinful thoughts and in ungodly words and in worldly wisdom, so that he might weave together a beautiful tapestry of his own good works and drape it over your shoulders, that you might be holy and righteous and pure. Up until this point, this child looked like any other child. There was nothing special or unique about him. But at 12 years old, at the Passover, Jesus decided to ever so briefly reveal to his parents who he was and why he came. They should have known where he was. But Mary forgot her own Magnificat. She forgot the shepherd's message. She forgot the angel's song. She forgot Simeon's words, and Joseph forgot the dream that was given to him. And so in their frantic despair, they searched for Jesus. They forgot his promises. So they searched among friends and family, but Christ did not come to rule a family. He did not come to carry out domestic affairs. They're looking in the wrong place. Jesus is not there among family. They look in the city, but he is not there either. He did not come to rule a city or to establish an earthly government or to embark on a career. They should have known where he was, because the scriptures clearly reveal where God is. At the Passover, the lamb that is slain, blood painted on doorposts and lintels. He's at the temple in the midst of the cherubim, where the priests are offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, the washings, the incense, the prayers offered to God, the light of the world, the showbread. This is where God is, among his people, to forgive them all their sins. So gently he rebukes his mother. He's not telling her anything new. This is exactly what Gabriel said when he said that Jesus will establish an eternal kingdom. This is exactly what Joseph heard in the dream from the angel when he was to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God rules over heaven and earth by the forgiveness of sins, not by governments, not by family. He rules all and establishes his kingdom by his death. So he must bleed, he must suffer, he must die to make atonement for all sin, that forgiveness and life might be preached in his name. As Mary and Joseph were to instruct Jesus in the faith, so also this is the job of you parents, especially you fathers. Teach your children where Christ is found. Yes, take care of their bodies. Nurture their minds and their hearts, but also develop their faith. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will never depart from it. So do not forget the training and instruction of the Lord. It's easy to feed them food. Harder to develop their mind. But it is easy to teach them the faith. It just takes time. So sing with them, pray with them, teach them where Jesus is found today. We can get so caught up in their relationships and how they are doing with family and friends that we assume they know who Christ is. We can get so caught up in their schooling and their careers that we assume they know why Christ came. We have the knowledge, therefore they also must have that knowledge. Mary and Joseph assumed, and what happened? They lost Jesus. Why would it be any different for us and for our children? So if we do not teach them the faith, then who will? If we do not tell them how to pray, then who will? If we do not tell them why Jesus came, who he is, how he redeemed man, and why we need to be redeemed, then who will? If we do not show them that Christ is present here on this altar, then who will? And if you have not done this in the past, then start today. God has not given you children so that way you can be happy, though that does happen. But God has given you children because they need Christian parents. And that includes even when they're able to make a dollar or two for themselves. They still need Christian parents encouraging them in the faith. Mary and Joseph didn't know everything. They're teaching Jesus, after all. Neither do you know all things. But still, God has given you children so that you might be a blessing to them. Jesus increased in all wisdom and knowledge, so must also you and your children increase in wisdom. Wisdom is viewing your entire life through the scriptures. Wisdom is looking at all the events of the world through the goggles or lenses of the Bible. Wisdom is recognizing why you gather here week after week, why you continue to fold your hands and pray. Wisdom is believing what God has said, even if you fully cannot comprehend it. As Mary treasured up all things in her heart, so does the church. And finally, wisdom is recognizing where Jesus is present today, and then going to receive his gifts. This 12-year-old child did not sit at the feet of the teachers of Israel. Rather, he sat in their midst. For where two or three gather in his name, there he is present in our midst. That includes when you read and pray with your children at home. Christ bodily dwells in your midst through his word. Or with your spouse. Christ bodily dwells among you. Do not look for him simply if your children are healthy and happy. Do not assume that he is there. Do not look for him in the government or in the economy or in your careers and assume that because your life is heading in a positive direction, God must be blessing you. Maybe he's blessing you with financial gain, maybe with earthly wealth and prosperity. Thanks be to God for that. But he's not giving you forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, joy, happiness, or heaven. Know where he is present to give such gifts. In his word. And you have the gift of reading, where you can open up those scriptures and read all about what your God has done for you and then tell the next generation those praiseworthy deeds. God lives in exalted glory, but he still hides himself in his word so that he might dwell among you to be your Savior. There you find him. And he is here at the altar as well. Here he is hidden more deeply, yet here the veil also is the thinnest. Heaven and earth mix as two or three gather together in his name, and Jesus is bodily present to forgive all your sins. This is the type of king he is. A king who sacrificed himself to make full atonement. A king who lives and reigns on high to lead you back here into his presence. In the midst of cherubim and seraphim singing his endless praises, you join. You echo their song, for the king has come, a priestly king, the Lamb of God, who offered that perfect sacrifice for you and now bids you to take and eat. The blood which saved Israel from death, the blood which saves you from sin, death, and hell. God's blood. So fathers, teach your children that they might know what this supper is and who their Savior is. Mothers, pray for your children that they may worthily eat and drink this feast for their salvation, even if they have been doing so for the past 30 years. You make sure that their beds are made each morning. You make sure that their homework is done. You make sure that their relationships are good. And you even make sure in adulthood that their family and their careers are going well. So also make sure they know where Jesus is. Teach them the faith. God has given you a great responsibility that doesn't end when they can make a buck or two, but a great responsibility that no one is equal to fulfill. And yet he didn't take Mary and Joseph away from Jesus. He left Jesus with them, and he even submitted to them so that he might learn and grow in wisdom with God and in favor with God and men. So too has he given you your children, so that you might teach them where Christ is found. Raising your children is like raising Jesus, then. Teach them the scriptures and bring them to the Passover Lamb who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Teach them and bring them to that Passover Lamb who now stands in your midst, ready to pour out forgiveness, life, peace, hope, joy, and salvation. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and he will never depart from it. That way is Christ. And that way leads to an altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.